Howdy. When standing up there worshiping, the Lord just began to speak some things in my heart in response to a question that Roxanne had spoke to me earlier today. She was talking to someone, I forget who she said she was talking to, and they were talking about the fact that Paul referenced joy as joy unspeakable, or what would be another word for unspeakable? Be joy inexplainable, joy, but the word is joy unspeakable, full of glory. So joy that you can't explain because it's so big. And she was just saying that she wants to experience that, and you know that she's never known, indescribable, I think is the word, joy indescribable. But you see, I think part what happens to us, we'll read those things in Scripture, and we'll think in terms of, wow, those are standard that we never really reach, but we're going after. And then we forget that that was a person who wrote that. The Holy Spirit didn't just take up a pen and start writing. He wrote those things through Paul. And Paul was, in all those places, was speaking to other Christians who he had responsibility for, places where he had either been or he had influence over. And he was explaining to them what their Christian life should look like. He's revealing to them what his Christian life looks like. Now we know that Paul wasn't always perfect. There's no person who walks in this world without sinning, but we shouldn't expect to sin. Paul didn't. But we've sort of got, we're normal. We've so settled for abnormal that we call abnormal normal, because it just feels better there. It's just easier. But biblical normal isn't meant to make you feel guilty about where you're at. It's about elevating your hope that there is more. It talks about much more. Several times Paul uses that term, much more. And so when Paul talks about joy unspeakable, indescribable, or joy indescribable, full of glory, we shouldn't be afraid or think it's a lack of humility to say, yeah, I've experienced that, or I'm experiencing that, because that's what Paul did. And we don't accuse Paul of being in pride. He was just describing from his experience normal Christianity, okay? So I would say that in my Christian life, when I discovered when I was 25 that Christ alone could live the Christian life, what it meant to be in Christ. Poor people like Bill and me have been hearing me yak about that for 40-something years, because I moved here when I was about 30. And so I've known breezes of that. But I would say in the last couple of years in my walk with the Lord, you know, maybe it was God's way of keeping me from sinking after losing Olivia, that just had breakthroughs. Those breakthroughs continued to where, and Karen and I talk about this a lot, that I could say that, yes, I know it is an experience, joy indescribable, as the normal experience, and it being abnormal when I'm not. And when I'm not, it's a sign to me that something's wrong, and that I seek the Lord until he shows me what's happening so that I can surrender, repent. Repent doesn't mean feel guilty and promise God you won't do that again. Repent means to think with. I simply surrender to the mind of Christ and think with him. And when I think with him, I feel what he feels. Because generally, your emotions are a reflection of what your mind is set on. There's a verse in Isaiah 26, verse 3 that says, "He whose mind is stayed on you, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." That's a pretty ridiculous statement. but it's in the Bible. So what are we going to do when Paul says joy, indescribable, full of glory, or talking about our conversation? What are you going to do with those verses when it says joy, indescribable, full of glory? Are we going to just write them off because it just sounds too impractical? I mean, I can't tell you how many times over the years, and even more so in the last couple of years, where I've had people come to me and try to, not be mean, but try to argue me down from that lofty place because it's just impractical. You know, it's just that that's just not possible. Well, then it shouldn't be in the Bible. Paul shouldn't have talked about that being his experience. And so again, it's not some lofty thing. It's only for a select few who just by accident hit bingo, and then it becomes their experience. It was Paul's description of his own walk. So it was a human explaining what he was experiencing. So it's okay for you to experience it. And it was his writing to those who he was discipling that this should be their normal experience. So what is this about? Well, you know, the Lord like blowing joy into you so that you get more joy, more and more, like giving you more and more joy until you finally reach that pinnacle. No, that's not what it's about at all. The scripture says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's his joy. And so the more you live yielded to him in childlike faith, the more you get to experience what he feels. Think about what Philippians 4 says. That you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding, and it'll guard your heart and your mind. And he didn't say you can have peace, that God will just give you more and more peace, more and more peace. No, he says you can have the peace of God. Whew, how peaceful is God? I mean, he says it in Scripture, doesn't he? So you can have the peace of God, and that peace passes understanding. One, you can't define it, describe it, or explain it either, and it keeps going past your ability to understand things. You ever notice that when you don't understand stuff, you have a tendency to get more anxious? But the peace of God's not like that, because God doesn't get anxious. It's a peace that passes understanding. His peace is past any of the understanding I've ever had of peace before. And it guards your emotions, your heart, and it guards your thought life. Wow, that's a great kind of peace. That your emotions are at peace, your mind is at peace, not just at peace, your emotions are as peaceful as God's emotions are. And your thought life is at peace as God's thought life is. So the thing is, for us, for CTKers, for those who come to this a lot and get to hear me, we talk about these things, don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. There should just be this thing in you that, oh, wow. And it's not like a step ladder thing. Okay, I'll take another step towards it, another step towards it. You can enter into it right now. Now, it's true that we'll grow in our consistent experience of it, the more we surrender, but you can know it in the next moment. See, the fruit of the Spirit isn't a description of God making you love, joy, peace. He's helping you to love more. Love, joy, he's helping you to have more joy. Love, joy, peace. Holy Spirit's helping you to have more peace. Lord's helping you to have more patience. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The Lord's helping you to be kinder. God knows some of us need that. Goodness, God's helping you to be good, decent, more gentle, more faithful, more self-control. That's not what it says. The Holy Spirit is God, right? And so the love he's talking about is the kind of love that God has. It's that big. The joy is the joy of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The peace is the peace of God. The patience is the patience of God. That's not the same as, well, I'm more patient than I used to be. That's just you trying to, like, behavioral modification. The kindness of God, the goodness of God, the gentleness of God, the faithfulness of God, the self-control of God. That's the Christian life. And so can you know joy indescribable or joy unspeakable full of glory? Why does he add that little part, joy unspeakable full of glory? Because this is God's joy. Anything God does brings his presence and his nature. It's just, you sort of walk. Which is the Charlie Brown character that had the little dust thing all around him? That pig pen? Yeah, remember he carries the little blanket with the little dust cloud all over him? So think of that as glory. Like, you walk in a glory cloud all the time. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. So I just share that with you to say, it's normal. It's not a super deluxe version. That it's probably not likely you'll ever get there, but maybe every once in a while you'll get a little touch of it, like a little pixie dust of it. You know, it's the normal thing. It's him. Well, how in the world do you walk in that? You stay surrendered. Where he is, there you are also. Jesus, as a human, experienced all those things. He was a prototype of the new creation. Not just an example for you, but an example of you. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. The peace of God that passes all understanding. I mean, you can go to sleep on that. You can lay your head down without a worry. Why was that? Because he doesn't worry. I shared this story Sunday that I'll stop. Is that, I was telling Roxanne this, because you wouldn't hear Sunday, but it's worth telling again. I was thinking about a situation, a circumstance that could have a bad outcome. As I looked down the road, and not so sure that those who are kind of in charge of the decision are really making wise decisions. And it might turn out not good. And I've been pondering that for several weeks. And how can it possibly be, when I talk about this all the time, but I'm just like, I don't get it that I'm sinning. And so at some point, the Lord got tired of me kind of having, there comes a place where you learn something, get someone into you, like this is part of your stuff. You just think this way. He got tired of me waiting to see if I got it. And finally he just said, I'm not worried about it. And I said, oh, so somebody tells you that, you're like going, oh. So it's all going to turn out great. There's not going to be any problems. He said, I didn't say that. It may not turn out great, and there could be some real problems. I'm just telling you, I don't worry about it, because I don't worry. Kind of like last night when he's trying to get sleep. Maud likes to go to the bathroom about 10. So I want Maud to go to the bathroom. Like, let her out the back door. I don't have to turn all the lights on, wake him up. Just go to the bathroom. But of course she decided this was the night she was going to do some adventuring. And so normally what I do whistling. I do this like rapid whistle and she'll come. And I started to get impatient. And the Lord said, you know, I don't get impatient. And I'm reminded, oh yeah, and you don't get frustrated, whether it's with dogs or crickets or people. You just don't do those things. So when he says those things, like, I don't worry about it, he's not just telling me because he wants me to know he's not worried about it. He's saying, we don't worry about this, Chuck. If we're one and I'm your life, we don't worry about it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you. I'm surrendering to that, thanking him now that that's going to come forth through me. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. How else could Paul say silly things like rejoice in the Lord always? What? Is that what you've been doing the last week? All day today? Rejoice in the Lord always? And then just in case we didn't get it because he knew we wouldn't, because he probably had to hear it that way himself, he said, again, I say, rejoice. So, you really can know joy unspeakable, full of glory. That's the joy of the Lord. Jesus lives inside of you so you can experience all that stuff. That's the life and life more abundant. That's what it means to be saved. Not just from going to hell one day, but saved from all the yuck of your fallen humanity. And it's frustrating. Here's the thing you're going to discover as you walk it out more and more, how frustrating it is to other Christians. Irritatingly happy. Frustratingly joyful. That's sad, isn't it? That Christians should get frustrated with Christians who know joy indescribable because they're walking in glory. Alrighty. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.